For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is May the 2nd, and we are at the end of Parshas Pinchas in Sefer Bamidbar on page 896. We're up to Shmini Atzeres. We've gone through all of the Yomim Tovim, Sukkos included, and now we're up to the last day of Sukkos, which is Shmini Atzeres, the eighth day of Sukkos. So, we'll read it through quickly, and then we will go through. It has the same format as the other Yomim Tovim, in that it goes through the Karbonos of Musaf. Bayom HaShmini Atzeres Tiyalachem, on the eighth day, it says in the English, a restriction for you. Restriction here doesn't mean like you're not allowed to do something. That's true for all the Yomim Tovim. Here it just means you're restricted from going home. Hashem says, I want you to stay. Stay an extra day. Kol Malechas Avodah Lo Sa'asu, do not do any work. You shall bring an ola, a burnt offering, which is a pleasant smell for Hashem. Par echad, ayel echad, one bull, one ram. Kvasim b'nei shiva, timimim. And seven sheep that are unblemished. So here we depart from the pattern of the karbanos that we had during Sukkos. During Sukkos, we had 14 sheep every day. Here we only have seven sheep, which is more similar to all the other Yomim Tovim where there were seven sheep. There were seven sheep on Pesach, on Rosh Chodesh, on Shavuos, on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur. So Shmini Atzeres follows that pattern, not like the rest of Sukkos, which had 14. Similarly, one bull, one ram is different than the entirety of Sukkos, where there were two rams every day. Here there's only one ram, and the bulls, we know that we went from 13 down to 7. Throughout the 7 days of Sukkos, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. And here there's only one bull, one ram, which is the same as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. One bull, one ram. So we've gone back to a group of karbanos, which is more similar to the other Yomim Tovim. Min chasam v'nizkehem, their meal offerings and their libations, la par, lo ayo, v'la kibasim, for the bull, for the ram, for the sheep, b'misparam, according to their numbers, kamishpat, according to the law that we've had until now. And, as always, usir chatas echad, one goat for a chatas. And all of this is milvar ola satamid, not including the ola of the carbon tamid, umin chasa, and its meal offering, v'nizka, and its libations. That is what we have for Shmini Atzeres. And now we have a final summation of all of the Yomim Tovim. Eile ta'asu la'Hashem b'mo'adeichem. These, all of the above, you shall do for Hashem on your holidays. And all of this is all of the karbanos we just mentioned, starting with Rosh Chodesh all the way to here. It's levad mididreichem v'nidvoseichem, not including your nidarim and nidavos. Nidarim and nidavos are personal karbanos that one offers as a gift, not because of sin, but because a person wants to offer a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, and those are called nidarim, and they are called nidavos. We'll discuss in a moment the difference between nidarim and nidavos, but both of them are voluntary karbanos that a person offers, and the Torah is saying, if you are going to bring a voluntary karban, you should bring it on the Yom Tov. Bring it with you when you go to the Beis HaMikdash for Pesach, for Shavuos, for Sukkos. Because to make a special trip, you might not want to do that. It might be too much to make a special trip to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah says, make sure to bring it with you. You're going anyway. So bring your personal karbanos, because we don't want you, chas v'shalom, to end up not doing it. If you made and took an oath that you would do it, then you got to make sure to make good on your oath. So all of the above does not include the personal karbanos. All of the above were karbanos tzibor, karbanos brought by the congregation. So this doesn't include personal karbanos. Lo lo seichem, ulumicho seichem, for your burnt offerings and your meal offerings, uliniskechem, and your libations, ulashalmechem, and your peace offerings. All these meaning voluntary things you may bring. Vayomer Moshe b'nei Yisrael, Moshe said to the Jews, Kechol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, all that Hashem commanded Moshe about the Yomim Tovim that we just said. Briefly, the difference between a neder and a nidava, they're both voluntary karbanos, both are oaths that one takes that they will bring a karban. A neder is someone says, I accept upon myself the requirement, the obligation to bring a karban. A nidava is, I declare that this animal of mine shall be a karban. So a neder is a declaration on me, and a dava is a declaration on the animal. So a neder, I obligate myself, then a dava, I make this animal into a karban. If I obligate myself, then even if I attempt to bring an animal, and that animal somehow dies or doesn't ever make it to the Beis HaMikdash, for whatever reason, I have to bring another one because I obligated myself. If I just make this particular animal into a karban, if the animal dies, then I'm absolved because the animal is no longer available to be brought and I only made the animal into a karban. On the other hand, if I make this animal into a karban, I can't switch it. This animal is the karban. If I obligate myself, I can then choose which animal I want to use. So it's two different methods of bringing a voluntary karban. Both are mentioned over here to be brought during the Yomim Tovim to make sure that a person does not neglect the oath that they took to bring a karban. Shmi Atzeres, as mentioned, is interesting in that it does not follow the pattern of the rest of Sukkos. This is indicative of the dual aspect of Shmini Atzeres. Shmini Atzeres is treated as part of Sukkos, and Shmini Atzeres is treated as a separate holiday. Shmini Atzeres has a funny setup. On the one hand, it's called the eighth. You can't be the eighth unless you're part of the original seven. If it was its own day, if it was its own day completely, it was a separate holiday from the rest of Sukkot, it can't be called the eighth day. It would be called the first or the only day of that holiday. Whatever we're going to call that holiday. Let's say we would call it Simchas Torah holiday. Then you wouldn't refer to it as the eighth day. It's a separate day. It's like Yom Kippur. It's a separate day. Rosh Hashanah is a separate day. So if you call it the eighth, that means we're acknowledging that it comes on the heels of seven, and it's connected to seven. So in that respect, it's certainly part of the Sukkos holiday. But on the other hand, the Gemara tells us it is a regel bifnei atzmo, it is a separate regel, a separate holiday, in six aspects. In six ways, Shmini Atzeres is considered to be a regel bifnei atzmo, its own holiday. It is part of Sukkos, but in six ways it's independent of Sukkos. And the Gemara has an acronym for it, and the acronym is Pazer Kashev, Pei Zayin Reish, Kuf Shin Beis. Pazer Kashev. That acronym shows up several places in Shas as the elements in which Shmini Atzeres is different than Sukkos, that it's its own day. Now, we know off the bat, without my telling you what those things stand for, we know several ways that Shmini Atzeres is a separate holiday. Can anybody think of several examples of how we know that Shmini Atzeres is a separate holiday, not attached to Sukkos?
We don't have to sit in a sukkah.
Okay, we don't sit in a sukkah. Now we're going to talk about that in a moment because in Chutz La'aretz, we do sort of, but it's a good point. We don't sit in a sukkah. Good.
We don't
We don't take a lulav and esrog. Okay, so clearly, the rest of sukkahs, you sit in a sukkah, you take a lulav and esrog. Shmini Atzeres, we certainly don't take a lulav and esrog. and sitting in the sukkah, certainly not in Eretz Yisrael, and in Chutz Lartz is a little bit of a discussion.
In the davening, we don't call it
sukkah. Okay, excellent. So in the davening, we don't say chag ha-sukkos. Davening and benching, we don't call it chag ha-sukkos. We call it Shmini Chag HaAtzeres. It's a separate title in davening. So that also indicates it's a separate holiday. It's not part of Sukkos. Okay, the Karbanos are different. We just mentioned that. Good. The Karbanos are different. There is another element which we do even today without a Beis HaMikdash on Shmini Atzeres that indicates it's a separate holiday. What's that?
I said, we're all going to say, oh, yeah, right. So would you tell us?
If I give you the hint, you'll get it. The hint is we do it at Kiddush and when we light candles.
Shechianu.
Yeah. We say Shechianu. You don't say Shechianu if it's a continuation of Sukkot. We said Shechianu on the first day of Sukkot already. What are we saying it again now? Because it's a new holiday. So those are all ways that they are a new holiday. So, Pazer Kashev, Pei Zayin Reish, Kuf Shin Beis. Some of those letters stand for the things that we mentioned, and others stand for things that we have not discussed. The Pei, we have not yet discussed. That's going to stand for Pious. Pious is spelled Pei. Yud. Yud Samach. It is not a Hebrew word. It is either an Aramaic word or a Greek word. And it means lottery or lots. Like Pur or Goro. Pious means a lottery. We'll talk about that in a moment. It has to do with which of the groups of Kohanim do which karbonos. We'll discuss that presently. We'll get to it. But that's the pay. So that we have not discussed yet. The Zion stands for Zman. Zman is the Gemara's way. Zman means time. Zman is the Gemara's way of referring to the bracha of Shechianu. All throughout Shas, Shechianu is referred to as Zman, the bracha of Zman. So that we've already mentioned. That was one of the ones that we had. That Zion stands for Zman. That Shmini Atzeres has its own Zman, meaning its own Shechianu. That's the Zion. Reish stands for Regel. It's its own Regel. Well, what does that mean? That means it has its own title. It's not called Sukkos. It's called Shmini Atzeres. Both in davening and in benching, we don't say Chag HaSukkos, we say Shmini Chag HaAtzeres. There's very different variations on how to say that, but not Sukkos. So it's its own regel. So that we've already mentioned as well. The Kuf stands for Karban. The Karban doesn't follow the pattern of the Karbanos of the rest of Sukkos. As we mentioned, only 7 sheep, not 14. And the bulls don't go down another one from 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7. It doesn't go down to 6. It goes down to 1. Totally off the pattern. And the rams are different.
There's a chart,
okay. And the rams are different. Yeah, very good. And the ram, we'll get to that in a minute. The rams are different. The rams go down from 2 to 1. So the karbanos are different. A whole different thing. Okay, so that one we mentioned as well. The shin stands for shir. This we didn't mention because this has to do with the songs of the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, as we know, the Levim had a special shira, a special song for every day of the week, which we actually say in our davening, but also for every day of Yom Tov. Different Yomim Tovim got different shiros. Sukkos is no exception, and every day of Sukkos has a different shira. All the shiros are taken from Tehillim, different parts of Tehillim. So the first 7 days of Sukkos, they are various kapitlach, various chapters of Tehillim. So is Shmini Atzeres. It's also its own kapitel, its own chapter of Tehillim. But it's not the same as the rest of Sukkos. Why? Because the rest of Sukkos, the shiros of the Levim, all the theme, they all have one theme in common, which is giving tzedakah to the poor. Because since Sukkos is the time when we gather in our grain, everything comes in from the field, Sukkos time, that's when the bounty of the year is felt. That's when a person feels wealthy, feels expansive, like they've got, and they're able to celebrate because they have all of the bounty from the year. It's like payday is Sukkos time. So if, even though you're really not wealthier than you are the rest of the year, but you feel wealthier because you got money in the bank. Sukkos time. So therefore the Torah particularly expects us to be giving, giving gifts to the poor, Sukkos time. More than any other time. And that actually affects the Kriyas HaTorah, the reading of the Torah on Sukkos, which we'll talk about. I'll mention that in just a moment. Let's just finish the last thing. But that's the shear of the Levium is different on Shmini Atzeres in that it does not follow the same pattern. It's not about giving to the poor. The first 7 days of Sukkos are all about giving to the poor, and the Shmini Atzeres is not. It's a separate Tehillim, nothing to do with giving to the poor. And finally, the last one, which is the Beis, that stands for bracha. So it's not referring to the bracha of Shechianu, that was mentioned in the Zayin of Zman. This is not something that we do today. This is that the Torah, the Navi says that they would say a bracha to the king. They would make a bracha to the king on Shmini Atzeres. Vayavarchu es hamelech. They'd make a bracha to the king that his, the king's, reign, the king's, his royalties, his dynasty should prevail. So that is done on Shmini Atzeres. It's not done on the rest of Sukkos. So again, the six things, some of them are more familiar than others. The pay is pious. Pious means a lottery, which we'll talk about in a moment. The Zion is Zman, is Shechianu. We spoke about that. The Reish is Regel. That's the different title that it has. Shmini Atzeres, not Sukkos. We spoke about that. The Kuf is Karban. Different Karbanos. We spoke about that. The Shin is Shir, which we also spoke about, a different type of song. And finally, Beis, which is Bracha, which is the Bracha they gave to the king. I want to explain what I meant before about how the Kriyas HaTorah is affected by the Shir of Sukkos. When I talk about that, and then I want to talk extensively about the pay, about pious, about this lottery. Let's first deal with the shear and how that affects Sukkos. You know that the Kriyas HaTorah for Pesach, for Shavuos, for Sukkos, some of the Kriyas HaTorah is specific. Some of them for Pesach are just for Pesach. Some of the Kriyas HaTorah, the one for Shavuos on the first day of Shavuos, is just for Shavuos. The first day of Shavuos, the reading is, Bachodesh HaShlishi, in the third month, we came to Har Sinai and we got the Torah. That's only for Sukkos. Pesach, the first day of Pesach, we read about Makas Bechoros. That's clearly only for Pesach. The seventh day of Pesach, we read about Beshalach and Oz Yashir, Kriyas Yamsuf. That's clearly only for Pesach. On Sukkos, depending on the day of Sukkos, some of the reading is just for Sukkos. But there is also some reading of Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos that overlaps, because since they are all the Shalosh Regalim, so some of the Kriyas HaTorah overlaps. So the reading of Shmini Atzeres, which is a little ironic, as we'll see in a moment, but the reading of Shmini Atzeres and the reading of the eighth day of Pesach and the reading of the second day of Shavuos are all the same. The reading of Shmini Atzeres, the reading of the eighth day of Pesach, and the reading of the second day of Sukkos, of Shavuos, are all the same. It's the last day of Pesach, the last day of Shavuos, and the second to last day of Sukkos, because the last day is Simchas Torah. So the reading there is finishing the Torah and starting again. But on Shmini Atzeres, we read the same thing that we read on the last day of Pesach and on the second day of Shavuos. That is the reading from Parshas Re'eh. If you want to turn for a moment to Parshas Re'eh, at the end of the Parsha, we have the reading of Kol HaBechor. Kol HaBechor, which is on page 1018. Pasuk Yotes, verse 19. Kol HaBechor, from there till the end of the parasha, is the reading for the eighth day of Pesach, meaning when you're in Chutz Laretz. Obviously, there is no eighth day of Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, but in Chutz Laretz, where we have an extra reading that you don't have in Eretz Yisrael, so this is the extra reading. This is what we read on the eighth day of Pesach. This is what we read on the second day of Shavuos. And this is what we read on Shmini Atzeres. Again, that's the extra reading. It would have been the last day of Sukkot, but on the last day of Sukkot, we do Simchas Torah. So we have the end of the Torah there. In Eretz Yisrael, that's what they do on Shmini Atzeres. This is the extra reading that you add in because we have an extra day of Yom Tov here, as opposed to Eretz Yisrael. So this is it. It's Kol HaBechor.
So they do this too in Eretz Yisrael?
They don't do this.
They don't do this.
No. They don't have an eighth day of Pesach. They don't have a second day of Shavuos.
But do they do it on Shmini Atzeres?
No, because on Shmini Atzeres they do what we do on Simchas Torah.
Ah.
They finish the Torah and start again on Shmini Atzeres. So this is our extra reading in Chutz Laretz. It's Kol HaBechor. Now, if the day when you're... Oh, by the way, it's a good thing to remember because whenever you read Kol HaBechor, that's when Yizkor is. Yizkor is on the last day of Pesach, it's on the second day of Shavuos, and it is not on the last day of Sukkot, it's on the second last day, it's on Shmini Atzeres.
Yeah.
So we read Kol HaBechor in Chutz Laretz anytime there is Yizkor. Except for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is different. But on the Shalosh Regalim, that's what we get. Now, Kol HaBechor, till the end of the parsha is not long. It's very short. It can easily accommodate five aliyahs that we have on Yom Tov. But it's very difficult to fit in seven aliyos if the day you're supposed to read Kol HaBechor comes out on Shabbos. It's very difficult to fit seven aliyos into this reading. So if the last day of Pesach or the second day of Shavuos is on Shabbos, we actually back it up. And we start earlier. We start from Aser to Aser, which goes back a couple of pages, really three pages, to page 1012 at the bottom of the page, in Pesach Chaf Beis, verse 22, Aser to Aser, we back it up to there. We start all the way back there. We still do Kol HaBechor. We go all the way to the end of the parasha, but we back it up because we have to fit in two more aliyahs. There's just not enough room from Kol HaBechor to the end. So we back it up to Aser to Aser. So that's true on Pesach, and that's true on Shavuos. That if the last day of Pesach or the second day of Shavuos comes out during the week, we start from Kol HaBechor. If it comes out on Shabbos, we start from Aser to Aser. But Shmini Atzeres, no matter whether it comes out during the week or on Shabbos, we start from Aser to Aser. Regardless of whether it's during the week or whether it is on Shabbos. So even if we don't need the space, we don't need more aliyahs, we only have five aliyahs because it's not on Shabbos, it's during the week, it's just a regular Yom Tov, which is five aliyahs, we still start from Aser to Aser on Shmini Atzeres. Why? Because Aser to Aser is all about giving to the poor. And since Sukkot time is a time of giving to the poor, therefore the reading of Shmini Atzeres is always from Aser to Aser. We back it up. We don't start from Kol HaBechor. Now this is a little bit ironic because, as I mentioned, the song of Shmini Atzeres is not about giving to the poor, whereas the rest of Sukkot is. But that's a little bit of a quirk. But really the reason for that is because the Shira that we're talking about is in Eretz Yisrael when we have a Beis HaMikdash. Then there is no second day of Yom Tov. Then it's all just 8 days. So it's treated as a separate day. But because we have like a little bit of a hybrid, so we start from Aser to Aser on Shmini Atzeres always. If you look in the Art Scroll Siddur in the back, you'll see that it says it has the same reading for the eighth day of Pesach, the second day of Shavuos, and Shmini Atzeres. And it says, if it's during the week, you start from Kol HaBechor. If it's on Shabbos, you start from Aser to Aser. But on Sukkot, on Shmini Atzeres, you always start from Aser to Aser. And that's the reason. Because it has to do with the gifts to the poor. I want to cover one more thing. I'll stop if anybody has any questions. I just want to cover one more thing before we get to the lottery. I want to get to the issue of Shmini Atzeres and sitting in the sukkah. But let me pause for questions. Yes.
Okay, so two questions. Can the bracha, the base bracha, have anything to do with the prayer for rain that we're doing?
That's a good question. It doesn't say that in the Mefarshim. It doesn't say that it has to do with rain. It's a good question. Question was, can the base, the bracha, in that acronym, Pazer Kashev, could that bracha have to do with Tfilas Geshem, that we daven for rain on Sukkos? Which is a good question, but it does not seem that that is what the base stands for.
Okay. The other question is, so I've never known that giving tzedakah was important. Like, you know, Rosh Hashanah, you know, tzedakah, Purim, and Pesach. Those are the big push. How come... I mean, is it just me that I don't
know? No. You ask a good question.
I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah, okay. So the question here that's being asked is that we know there's a push for tzedakah Purim time, Matanos La'Avyonim. Pesach time, we have Mos Chidin, Rosh Hashanah. We always talk about giving tzedakah Rosh Hashanah time. It's a kapara. How come we don't speak about it with Sukkos? It's a good question. I believe the answer is because the reason why Sukkos is singled out for tzedakah is because of the harvest. It's really an agricultural thing. Since we're not, our fiscal year doesn't revolve around agriculture, so we're not used to Sukkos being the time that we feel wealthy. So I think that's why. But in an agricultural society, it was obvious that that's when people have money. That's when they have food. There's a lot. And then people feel more ready to give that time of the year.
So there's not that push.
Today, these days, we don't have that push specifically on Sukkos, although every Yom Tov, there is the idea of making sure that those who are less fortunate have what to celebrate the Yom Tov with. Hashem says he says, you have four members of your household, which is, besides you yourself, you have your sons, your daughters, your male slaves and your female slaves, which is all members of your household. So, and Hashem says, and I have four members of my household. And that's the widow, the orphan, the poor person, the widow, the orphan, and the convert, who are all generally, because the convert didn't have any land, they often were poor. So Hashem says, you take care of my four, I'll take care of your four. And that's true for all Yomim Tovim, not just Pesach. Okay, so let's deal with Shmini Atzeres, that we don't take the lulav. We also don't sit in the sukkah, but we do sit in the sukkah. So that's a little confusing. So the way that works, and we spoke about this when we talked about it in Parashas Emor, which was really this past week's parasha. When we learned it, we talked about it then. The way that works is that because we are dealing with every day of Sukkos as a suffix, as a doubt, which day it is, because we're always dealing with 2 days. Is this the first day? Is this the second day? Is this the second day? Is the third day? Is the third day? Is the fourth day? Each day we're kind of hedging our bets which day it is. That's fine. When we read the Torah, we can read 2 different days and say, you know, if this is the third day, fine. If it's the fourth day, fine. That's okay. But when you get to Shmini Atzeres, the problem is it's a Yom Tov. And we can't do anything on the Yom Tov that would indicate that it's not a Yom Tov. That would be a zilzul, that would be degrading the Yom Tov, to behave as if it's not Yom Tov. Therefore, we can't do anything on Shmini Atzeres that would overtly show that it's still Chol HaMoed, that it's not Shmini Atzeres. So if we're not sure if it's the eighth day or if it's the seventh day, you can't do anything that indicates it might be the seventh day, because it would be a bizayon, it would be degrading to the Yom Tov. So we therefore do not pick up the lulav, because you can't, a lulav generally you would not pick up on a Yom Tov. It's muktzah, you wouldn't handle it on Yom Tov, unless you were required to. Well, we don't know if we're required to, because we don't know what day it is. We don't know if it's the seventh day or the eighth day. Therefore, we don't pick it up. So there, we don't deal with the lulav at all. But when it comes to sitting in the sukkah, particularly in their day where they didn't have heating and air conditioning. So this sukkah was, one might sit outside. It's not such an unusual thing to sit outside and eat outside. And so therefore sitting in the sukkah is not directly contradicting the Yom Tov. On a regular Yom Tov, if you choose to sit outside on a regular Shabbos, if you want to eat on your deck, eat on your deck. You don't have to eat inside. So therefore, on Shmini Atzeres, we sit in the sukkah because we may as well hedge our bets. It might be still be sukkahs. So we sit in the sukkah, but we don't make a bracha of leishev basukkah because it might not be sukkahs. It might be Shmini Atzeres. And then the bracha would be a bracha levatala. So the Gemara says, Yesuve yasvinan, we sit in the sukkah, bruche lom avarchinan, we don't make a bracha of leishev basukkah. That the Gemara says in Masachas Sukkah, that you sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, but you don't make a bracha. But it is for this reason that the threshold for eating inside on Shmini Atzeres, that threshold is lower than the rest of Sukkahs. Meaning that if it's regular day of Sukkahs, so a man is required to eat in the sukkah, and a woman gets a mitzvah for eating in the sukkah, but a man is required to. So if it gets unduly uncomfortable, then a man is allowed to go inside because it's now mitzta'er, a person is uncomfortable, and it's no longer teishvu kein toduru, it's no longer dwelling the way one lives. It's now uncomfortable. One is not required to sit in the sukkah when one is uncomfortable. So it gets very cold, it gets very hot, it gets very buggy, obviously rain, any of these things, a person goes inside. What's the threshold for going inside? Well, on the rest of Sukkot, if I can make myself comfortable in an uncomfortable situation, I get a mitzvah for doing so. So if it's getting cold, but I bundle up and I say, you know what, I can, I'm alright out here, I'm okay, I'm bundled up, and I'm alright. So good. I may not be required to do that, but I get a mitzvah for doing that because I've made myself comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. It's warm in the sukkah, and I say, you know what, I'm doing alright, I can handle it, so I'll perspire a little bit, but it's okay, I won't let it bother me. So if a person is able to do that, they get a mitzvah. Because they've managed not to sit in the sukkah and be resentful. They've managed to say, okay, so I'll be a little uncomfortable, whatever. And they say, I'll handle it. So there's a mitzvah. But on Shmini Atzeres, the problem is the only way we can sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres is only if it's something that one would do under those circumstances. And it doesn't look like a violation of Yom Tov. It doesn't look like I'm proclaiming that this is really the seventh day of Sukkot. So if it's, nice weather, fine. But if it's very cold, and then I bundle up, what are you doing that for? You're only doing that because you need to be in the sukkah. But that means you're saying it's the seventh day, not the eighth day. It's not because you feel like eating outside. No one feels like eating outside when it's freezing cold outside. So the threshold for eating outside on Shmini Atzeres is therefore lower. If it's somewhat uncomfortable, we don't try to make ourselves comfortable, we just go inside on Shmini Atzeres. The rest of Sukkot, there's a mitzvah to try to make oneself comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. So that's the difference between that. But if one is comfortable, then there's a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah and not make a bracha. That's the way it works on Shmini Atzeres.
On Simchas Torah, do people?
No, on Simchas Torah, we do not sit in the sukkah because Simchas Torah for sure is not Sukkot. That's the ninth day. So it's clearly not Sukkot. So we are not really not supposed to sit in the sukkah on Simchas Torah. One should not. In fact, there's a discussion in Halacha, if a person has no place else to eat but in the sukkah on Simchas Torah, then one needs to do something to show that the sukkah is not really a sukkah anymore. To make it that I'm not trying to get a mitzvah, because that might border on the prohibition of Baal Tosef, of adding on to the Torah. Torah said 7 days, and I'm making it 8 days. So therefore, when it's on Shmini Atzeres, it's because I'm not sure what day it is. But on Simchas Torah, I know it's not the seventh day. So therefore, one should not sit in the sukkah on Simchas Torah. If one needs to, then consult your L-O-R, your local Orthodox rabbi, of what to do to show that the sukkah is not a sukkah anymore. Now, what is this pious, what is this lottery that we're talking about? Going back to Parshas Pinchas, what is this lottery we're talking about? As Dina pointed out, we have here a chart of the Karbanos, if you have it in the Stone Chumash on 899. So you have a whole list of Karbanos over here, here it's all of the days, not just Sukkot. You have Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Pesach, etc. A handy little chart over there. But what we're going to talk about is actually broader than that. And that is the following. You see, there are, amongst the Kohanim are divided up into 24 Mishmaros. 24, groups. That's the wrong word. Not teams. I guess we'll call it groups for the time being. But it's 24 of them. Shifts. That's the word I want. 24 shifts of Kohanim. And throughout the year, each shift works for a week. So each Kohen works 1 week every 24 weeks. Because your shift of Kohanim is on duty once every 24 weeks, which is roughly twice a year, slightly more than twice a year. However, on the Yom Tov, all the Kohanim work. Any Kohen comes to Yerushalayim and works on the Yom Tov. All the shifts, all 24, work on the Yom Tov, not just whichever shift is on duty that particular week, but everybody works that week. So when we say that all the Kohanim work in that week, it means they work on, they are involved in the service of the Yom Tov. So meaning that, let's say it's Pesach. So on Pesach we have Musaf. So Musaf is comprised of, you have the seven sheep and the bull and the two rams. I forget which one is which, but it's, let's see, it says it here. You have, two bulls, one ram, and you have a goat. So those are the communal karbanos. So all the shifts of Kohanim have the right to work and be a part of the communal karbanos. Each karban requires multiple Kohanim to be involved, and so they can do that. The individually offered karbanos are not brought specifically for Pesach or for Sukkot or for Shavuos. So those are processed by the shift that happens to be on duty that week. But the communal karbanos, which are specific for the Yom Tov, those are offered by everybody. All the Kohanim are involved in those karbanos. So there are 24. On the first day of Sukkot, so as you see here in the chart, on the first day of Sukkot, you have 13 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs or sheep, and 1 goat. That's what you have. So that equals 30 karbanos. There are 30 karbanos offered on the first day. There are 29 on the second day. There are 28 on the third day, 27, 26, etc. So the way that it works is that the bulls are considered to be the best karban to offer. It's the biggest and considered to be the best. So on the first day, there are 13 bulls. So what we do is we divide them up amongst the first 13 of the shifts, the first of the mishmaros. They each get a bull to offer. Then you have the two rams. So you have 2 more shifts that get the 2 rams. So that's 15 out of 24. And as the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Sukkah, the Mishnah tells us, I'll read you how it says it over here. Right? one, and in one shift, gets the goat, which is a chatas. So again, you've got 13 getting the bulls, two getting the rams, and one getting the goat. So that's 16 have now been, they've gotten what we would call an important animal to offer, or important carbon to apple, offer, to, important animal to offer. That leaves 8 shifts for the 14 sheep. The 14 sheep are considered to be the lowliest. They're the smallest, least important one to offer. So those 8 get these 14 sheep. And what happens is 6 of those 8 get 2 sheep each. And 2 of the 8 only get 1 sheep each. The next day, well, you've got fewer karbanos to go around. You only have 29 karbanos to go around. So the first 15 karbanos go to the first, to the 15 of the shifts. That leaves 9 for the 14, goats. Sheep. 9 for the, right. So, 5 of them each get 2 and 4 get 1. That's a total of 14. The next day, same thing happens. You have fewer karbanos, so you end up with 10 mishmaros, 10 shifts for the 14 sheep. So, 4 of them get 2, which is 8. That leaves the other 6 each get 1. And that's what happens every day. Fewer and fewer of the shifts get 2 sheep because you have more shifts that need karbanos. Until you get to the last day where the remaining shifts only get 1 karban each. And that's the way it goes. So that's all fine and good. So that's how we account for all of the mishmaros, all the shifts. However, as I mentioned, the bulls are considered to be the best. So you don't get to do another bull until everybody gets to do one. So the first day, the first 13 of the mishmaros each do a bull, and the other ones have to get the other animals. The second day, so you have 11 shifts, 11 mishmaros, who have not yet done a bull. Because 13 did it the first day out of 24. There's 11 more that haven't had a chance to do a bull yet. So those 11 are first in line. And then there is still one more. There's 12 bulls on the second day. So the first mishmar, they got to do the first bull on the first day. They do the last bull on the second day. So they get their second chance. And then the next day, there's 12 bulls. So numbers 2 through 13 get those 12 bulls. The next day, there's 11. So, right, and this, you just keep going around, and you keep giving more and more, and, you know, you don't get to go again until everybody else has had a chance to go once. You don't get to go a third time, so everybody has had a chance to do 2. There are 70 bulls total throughout all the days. There are 24 mishmaros. 24 times 3 is 72. So what happens is the first 22 mishmaros each end up getting 3 bulls throughout Sukkot, and the last 2 mishmaros only get 2 bulls. That's the way it works. That's days 1 through 7 of Sukkot. You have a question?
So I was going to ask how many people are in each shift that are all together doing this one bull.
Okay, good question. We'll get to that in a minute. The question was how many people from each shift are involved with each bull. So we'll get to that in a moment. But this brings us to the question of pious bifnei atzmo, its own lottery. See, normally in the Beis HaMikdash, how do you decide who gets to do what? Everybody wants to do different things. Even within the shift, within the mishmar, everybody wants to do certain types of things. Certain types of things are particularly coveted. For example, the ketores, offering the ketores on a daily basis, that is considered to be something that brings wealth to a person. So everybody wanted to do it. So what they would do is a pious. They would do a lottery to choose who got to do what. So for the mishmaros, for these shifts, they would do a lottery. normally to decide who gets to do what. But on Sukkot, where you have 70 bowls, you just start from the beginning and just go through. Everybody gets to do one, two, and then most of them even get to do three. When you get to Shmini Atzeres, there's only one bowl. So you might have been tempted to say, give it to the 23rd Mishmar, because the first 22 Mishmaros each got three. The 23rd and 24th Mishmaros only got one. So now the 23rd Mishmar should be first in line to get that last bull on Shmini Atzeres. So the halacha is, you don't do that. There is a difference of opinion in the Mishnah. One opinion is that you do a lottery between those last two Mishmaros, numbers 23 and 24. They get a lottery to decide which one of them gets that bull on Shmini Atzeres. And there's an opinion in the Mishnah that no, all 24 Mishmaros get to be in that lottery for the bowl of Shmini Atzeres. So that's what the pay stands for. Pious Bifnei Atzmo. It's its own lottery. Shmini Atzeres gets a lottery which is not done on the other 7 days of Sukkot. So that's why we're not familiar with it, because this is strictly a Beis HaMikdash institution amongst the Kohanim, with a lottery that happens on Shmini Atzeres that did not happen on the other days of Sukkot. So that's the first, actually, of the six ways that Shmini Atzeres stands on its own. The question that was asked over here is, how many Kohanim are we talking about that could or could not be involved in the Karban? So first of all, each Mishmar could have many, 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 many Kohanim, or it could have very few Kohanim. Remember that when we say Kohanim, we're talking about those Kohanim who are fit to serve. Any Kohen that is Tamei cannot serve. Any Kohen that is too old or feeble cannot serve. Any Kohen that's too young cannot serve. So we're not talking about every single Kohen on the planet. We're talking about those within the Mishmar who are fit to serve. Nevertheless, there were still usually a lot of Kohanim. So how many Kohanim? So the Mishnah tells us that depending on the animal, you would need more or less Kohanim. So a bull would need, I believe, if I remember correctly, 24 Kohanim to process a bull. It's a big animal. There's a lot to do with the animal. And there were 24 Kohanim who were involved directly with the processing of a bull carbon. So, with all these different carbonos, it involves a lot of Kohanim. Right. One second, there was one more point I was going to make about that. Depending on how many Kohanim were available in that particular Mishmar, so that's how many would be involved in that particular process. But you're right, there could be more Kohanim than needed for a particular service on the day that Mishmar is supposed to do it. So you're right, it won't necessarily be every single Kohen in that particular Mishmar. But they would try to spread it out and give it to as many as possible. So these are the ways that Shmini Atzeres is different than the rest of Sukkot. And I'll read to you something which I mentioned to you last time, but I didn't read it to you in the Gemara, that first of all, we didn't mention this specifically last time, and that is that Hashem says that on the eighth day that you should stay an extra day, that Hashem says, let me read it over here in the Gemara, in Maseches Sukkah, Nun Hei Amabez, it's 55b. Why on Shmini Atzeres is there only one bull, where there were 70 the rest of Sukkot? So the 70 were the Gemara says, were corresponding to the 70 nations of the world, and the individual bull of Shmini Atzeres is for the Umma Yechidis, for the individual nation, which is us. Mashal lemelech basar v'dam. This is a parable to a flesh and blood king. Shamar la'avadav, that he said to his servants, Asuli su'uda gedola, make me a large feast, a large banquet. Liyomachron, the last day, Amar La'ohavo, he said to the one who he loved the most, Asei li suda ketana, make me one small banquet, kidei she'ena mimcha, that I should benefit just from you directly. And that let us, just ourselves, enjoy this last day. So that's what Shmini Atzeres is. The rest of Sukkot is for the whole world, but Shmini Atzeres is just for us. And that's why it's only one bowl, as opposed to the rest of Sukkot, where you have 70. But then the Gemara says, I mentioned this to you last time, Amar of Yochanan says, Rav Yochanan, Oy lahem la'ovdei kochavim, woe to them, to the idolaters, the nations of the world. Sha'avdu, they've lost something, vein yodin ma sha'avdu, they don't even know what they've lost. Bizman she'beis hamikdash kayam, when there was a beis hamikdash, mizbeach mechaper aleihen, the altar would atone for them. The karbonos that were brought on Sukkot atoned for all the nations of the world. V'achshav, and now, mi mechaper aleihen, who will atone for them? They don't have a beis hamikdash, we don't have a beis hamikdash, there is no beis hamikdash to atone for the sins of the world, including the non-Jews. There was an atonement for them on Sukkot, which unfortunately they don't have, we don't have either. So they themselves lost something that they don't realize that they've lost. And that was what Sukkot was about. Any other questions? So this is the end of Parshas Pinchas, and Mirtz Hashem, next time we will begin Parshas Matos.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.